Stay tuned now on 1460 WVOX for The Ballot Box with your hosts Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin. The Ballot Box is a monthly program brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Now, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome to The Ballot Box. Happy spring. I'm Tamar Tate, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nina Lubin, and we're coming to you on behalf of the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle, courtesy of WVOX 1460 AM, and of course, as always, our talented sound engineer, Gerald Bell. So, hi, Nina, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Tamar, thanks. Glad to see the temperature is going to be the upper side of 40 for the next 48 hours or so, and we'll take it from there. How are you doing?
Good. Loving this up and down with the temperatures. Right. So we have a really great show today, but right before we launch into that, I just want to announce the League of Women Voters has a couple of volunteer opportunities for people who may be interested in helping to register some new voters. First of all, we have New Rochelle's Earth Day Festival, which is going to be this Saturday, April 22nd from 12 to 4. The League of Women Voters will be on at a table on Anderson Plaza. That's across from the New Rock entrance between Main and Huguenot Streets. We'll have a tent, table, and chairs to comfortably register people to vote and encourage League membership and informed voting. So we're sharing a tent with the Lincoln Park Conservancy, and any amount of time people can offer is appreciated. If that date, April 22nd, doesn't work for you, on April 26th, which is a Thursday from 11 to 1, we will be at Westchester Community College and at the Cross County Shopping Center in Yonkers. There's a new branch of WCC there. We're going to be registering voters there. And finally, there's various days in April and May that we're going to be registering new voters at high schools. So if anyone has any time and can offer it for registering new voters, please contact League of Women Voters President Joan Alexander. Her number, if you have a pen and paper, is 914-715-3916. Thanks, and we hope to hear from you.
This is Nina. Just want to repeat that number for anyone who is interested. It's probably one of the easiest things you can do to help us have as large a voting electorate as possible. The person to contact, Joan Alexander, is New Rochelle League of Women Voters President. Her number is 914-715-3916.
So this morning, I'm already leaping to tonight, we have a guest who is new to New Rochelle government, and Nina, why don't you introduce him?
Happy to do so. Our guest this morning is Wilfredo Melendez, who this past February was appointed New Rochelle's Commissioner of Public Works. Prior to the New Rochelle appointment, Commissioner Melendez worked in New York City's Department of Environmental Protection as a deputy director of the Bureau of Water Supply. During his tenure with the DEP, he was responsible for managing water treatment facilities that supplied the entirety of New York City's drinking water. He oversaw a staff of more than 130 employees and managed contracts, capital improvements, and government mandates pertaining to environmental and employee safety requirements. Prior to this government work, Commissioner Melendez worked in the private sector at a construction firm where his responsibilities included serving as manager, superintendent, or engineer on multi-million-dollar projects for the city's Department of Design and Construction, the Port Authority, and the New York City Department of Sanitation. Commissioner Melendez, Tamar and I are very pleased that you found the time to join us at the Ballot Box. Good morning.
Good morning. My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad to have you on the show this morning. Commissioner Melendez, Nina and I have learned how extensive a career you've had in public works. The arc of your career appears to be a professional love affair, not only with urban settings, but with work that keeps urban inhabitants safe and productive. Can you tell us a little bit about what drew you to your career in public works?
Sure. You know, I've always had a passion for construction, for projects. Even as a kid, just driving by construction sites, I just had this passion about how things were being built and how things were constructed. So that kind of led me to civil engineering. And then from there, I went on to work with the City of New York on various infrastructure projects. And what that gave me the opportunity and the appreciation to see how engineers, you know, hundreds of years ago had this foresight of really looking ahead and designing and building these aqueducts and roads and bridges that are still intact today. So, you know, that was really eye-opening to me when I first went to the city. So it was an honor to keep that legacy going and you know, providing that stewardship for generations to come. So, you know, I take pride in that and, you know, delivering projects that, you know, and coordinating work to see something get built and something that, you know, our residents and the people could really appreciate from generations to come. So that's really what kind of drives me.
You know, it's interesting when I went to Greece or Italy and I would see these infrastructure projects that were still intact from thousands of years ago. And then, you know, I read about the Tappan Zee Bridge falling apart. It makes me wonder, like, what happened? Where was the disconnect?
Yeah. You really got to admire the foresight, the engineering, and, you know, and doing all that work and even the construction of it back then with the equipment they had and the tools that they had to really get this right. And that was amazing. And, right. And being part of that was kind of what drives me and what really drove me at the city to see those large, massive, like you just said, from you know, ancient time, Roman, our aqueducts were amazing to look at and to be part of. And, you know, to be part of keeping that legacy going was really what was really inspiring to me.
It's always a pleasure to speak to somebody that that loves his or her work and is excited by it, and that certainly seems to be the case here. So zipping over to New Rochelle, for the many listeners that do not follow Department of Public Works on a daily basis, can you, in your own words, describe for us what the mission of New Rochelle's Department of Public Works is, and what kind of resources does it have to fulfill that mission?
Yeah, we're very busy. We cover a lot of ground here at Public Works. You know, I mean, overall, we're protecting and really maintaining the city's main infrastructure assets. So, you know, our storm water sewer systems, our sanitary sewer systems, our roads, all of our public buildings. We have a pretty large vehicle fleet and equipment fleet. So we maintain and operate all of that. We have a big engineering component to us where we kind of provide the life cycle management of a whole engineering project from the inception all the way to the procurement, all the way to the construction. So we manage that with some of our engineers, our in-house staff. And then we provide a lot of critical services to the residents, you know, our sanitation, our street cleaning. We have a tree pruning contracts that we manage, tree removal contracts. And another big component is all the traffic signals that you see in the city. So operating and maintaining our traffic signal systems and all our signage throughout the city. Well, so it's pretty diverse.
We see your staff out there every day doing all of these things. Do you have a rough idea of how many staff you have at Public Works?
You know, I shouldn't know.
Sorry.
But I'm going to say...
roughly.
I mean, looking at it, I mean, roughly, I'm going to say it's probably around maybe from 90 to 100 people.
Okay.
Well, what kind of infrastructure, I guess, projects get contracted out versus done within your department?
The majority do get contracted out. I think we focus with in-house folk, our forces and resources on a lot of the maintenance aspects of the assets. But for the installation or, say, major repairs or installation of new assets, that'll be mostly contracted out.
And you have to coordinate a lot with utility companies on the maintenance work.
That's correct. Yeah. So we start that coordination and that dialogue pretty early in the process. We put out solicitations for technical assistance through various engineering consulting companies that come, and we coordinate that. We provide a lot of the records that we have and start that coordination process early with whoever else is in the right of way in the streets, so utility companies. And then we look at our own assets and see what's there. And from there, projects are developed based on the specific needs. And, you know, we develop scopes for the work and then actually follow that process throughout. Eventually put bid documents together that lead to construction contracts and then manage those contracts through completion.
But, you know... In terms of our tax dollars, so we pay a separate school tax versus a city tax. I'm just wondering, do you also cover the school buildings maintenance?
We're going to pause for just before that answer.
That question will be hanging out there.
Till after the commercial break. See you on the other side of the commercial.
Let's return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to The Ballot Box. I'm Tamar Tate. My co-host Nina Lubin and I are interviewing Wilfredo Melendez, who is the commissioner of New Rochelle's Department of Public Works. And right before our break, we had a little bit of a cliffhanger question. I was wondering whether the Department of Public Works also is responsible for the infrastructure of school district property and buildings.
No, we're not. No, we don't do the schools. We take care of a lot of other city-owned assets, you know, City Hall, all of our firehouse buildings, stations, the police headquarters. We have various maintenance facilities throughout the city that we maintain, but not the schools, not the school buildings themselves.
Okay, so presumably that's coming out of that huge school tax.
Yeah, Department of Education, perhaps. Yeah. So you arrived just a little while ago, February. And long before you got here, New Rochelle began a major redevelopment of the downtown area, which still continues and will continue in coming months and probably years. That must be have a huge impact on the DPW, you know, electricity, roads, streets, all of that stuff. Has it been a strain? How has the DPW managed with this enormous new responsibility?
Oh yeah, sure, agree. Definitely, the development has initiated a lot of significant infrastructure upgrades. Right, so you know, mostly the biggest aspect of it is. You know, what it has meant to our sanitary sewer systems and our storm sewer systems. So that, you know, development itself triggered immediate, upgrades to those piping networks. So that's probably one of the biggest impacts the development has had. a lot of work within the right-of-way as a result of development. So all the construction that happens within the street, all that coordination between development, utility work, requires permits from the City of New York. So that triggered a lot of permit applications, a lot of permit reviews and approvals that come through Public Works.
You mentioned approval from the City of New York. You mean City of New Rochelle, I think?
City of New Rochelle.
Okay, correct. Right.
Still making the transition.
You can take the commissioner out of New York City, but you can't take Okay,
City of,
sorry.
Right, the City of New City, city permit, okay. Approvals, yes. So that's a big undertaking that we do a lot with you know, reviewing permits and approving permits for this work. Another big kind of impact it's had is on the traffic signal system. So those have triggered, you know, replacements, you know, upgrades, triggering new projects to be initiated to take care of our traffic signal systems. So, you know, and our traffic flow, you know, we have detours, signages. So, pretty big impact on the infrastructure.
With the closing of Indian Point, Con Ed announced a while back that they were not going to approve or couldn't accommodate more major development projects. Has anything changed with that? Do you know?
As far as on the Con Ed side?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, our interaction with Con Ed, with our development is, it's really a lot of utility coordination with, their utilities as far as, direct interferences with our work, you know, storm sewer installations, sanitary sewer installations. So that's where we coordinate with them a lot. They have the opportunity to take a look at their systems while we're working within the area to see if they upgrade their systems. But most of the work that we have with Con Ed that is triggered through our work and development is really coordination and impacts to their systems. So either they're replacing, relocating utilities to make way for new infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess my question is really, it should be more directed towards Con Ed. I'd love to get Con Ed on our show to ask them about those, especially in terms of specifically Indian Point closing down. You know, how thin are they stretched and what their resource capacity is. But
okay, never say never. Maybe online, Commissioner. I'm going to turn for a minute to what we've been hearing. I've been hearing a lot more about in recent weeks, the drainage study. I understand that New Rochelle engaged consultants for a citywide drainage study last year to analyze issues in six watershed districts located throughout New Rochelle. And the first question, this is foreshadowing, is going to ask you to define the word watershed, what that means, and describe that. But there have been five public watershed meetings so far, and the last is being held, if I'm correct, this evening at 6 p.m. in City Hall, and it pertains to the Sheldrake watershed, the Sheldrake River is there, in northeast New Rochelle. Can you give us an overview of what this project is, what has occurred so far, what the goals are, just the highlights? And again, if you don't mind, begin by defining what a watershed is for me and our listeners.
Yeah, so it's a pretty extensive study that was undertaken last year as a result of what's been happening over the past several years, and probably decades, with flooding issues throughout the city. You know, the watersheds are, you know, areas where that kind of defined by where a common flow of water all leads to. So, so different areas of the city kind of drain to different parts of the system. So, you know, once you have a common area that has a common drain, that'd be considered a kind of a watershed area. Isolated on its own, it drains to a certain location, all the infrastructure there.
Okay, let's hold for our next commercial break. We'll see you on the other side.
Let's return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back. We've been talking to New Rochelle's Commissioner of Public Works, Wilfredo Melendez, and he is beginning to tell us about the citywide drainage study that was commissioned last year in connection with six separate areas in New Rochelle. Tonight's drainage study, by the way, tonight's meeting at 6 p.m. City Hall, is in connection with the northeast area of New Rochelle that experienced severe flooding over a year ago.
During Hurricane Ida.
I guess it was, yeah. Ida. And the Hutchinson River Parkway up there became like the rapids. So this is for folks who have not yet heard about the study meetings, especially in northeast New Rochelle. Tonight, City Hall at 6 p.m., there will be a drainage study meeting. And Commissioner Melendez, will the public have an opportunity to speak at that meeting?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
There'll be a question and answer session at the end of the presentation.
Okay, so please, if you don't mind, continue with a couple of the highlights for us on this study.
Yeah, so we started this back last year, 2022, and like I was saying, the watersheds are common, you know, areas that kind of share the same common network of storm drainage piping and a common outlets, either all leading to, you know, the same discharge points, Hutchinson River or Long Island Sound and stuff. So that's how it's kind of separated into those areas. The study really is a high-level study, and it really got to, you know, give us the understanding of really what our system looks like, what is the capacity of this system right now. They did a lot of modeling and collecting of data. It's all based on complaints and past history of flooding locations. So it wasn't like they started with a blank canvas. They really zoned in onto areas of concern and really looking at the existing infrastructure there. So it was really important to do that, to understand the capacity of what we have now and how it looks like. So we, you know, gathered a lot of our records and data, and handed it over to consultants to really study and analyze. And then out of that, you know, we've developed some proposed solutions to how to mitigate the flooding in those areas based on you know, certain design criteria at a high level at this point right now. So I think the study is going to be very valuable in determining the type of improvements that could be done and where they should be done. So it kind of gives us a kind of a marker on what direction to go in, and that'll lead us to the next steps of doing more detailed designs for the improvements in those particular areas.
What are some of the proposed solutions?
There's a variety of solutions depending on the location. So, I mean, they can range from simple kind of surface improvements for localized areas, such as, you know, improvements up on the street level, mm-hmm. you know, curbing or some changes to asphalt and milling just to make the water go in the right direction. We have areas that don't have infrastructure at all. That don't have any storm piping installed in the street or catch basins. So some of those improvements would be to actually install new systems there. Some areas will install additional catch basins to collect water. There are areas where some improvements are to retain or detain water with underground structures to help alleviate or to help the system manage large storm events. And then most of the improvements are just really upsizing the capacity of the system, because it's, you know, through this analysis, we were able to determine that a lot of the areas are undersized and just pipes are just too small. You know, storm sewer piping should be able to have a, when designed correctly, have a capacity to hold a certain amount of water. And we're just finding out that a lot of these don't. So there's a lot of different types of improvements. There's some opportunities for green infrastructure that could be made in certain areas. So that this study is really given us the opportunity to take a look at these areas and come up with some proposed solutions and kind of guide us in the right direction to take us to the next step of actually implementing them.
What parts of the city really seem to suffer the most from these issues? I mean, is there one area or a couple? I guess you have six areas identified, but some must be more serious than others. Like, where do you get the most complaints?
I mean, we got a lot. I mean, it's pretty spread out up in the north. You know, a lot of our culverts and open culverts are an issue. We have the areas down. I mean, it's pretty spread out. You know, down by you know, where our discharges into Long Island Sound, there's issues closer to the water, obviously, where some of that infrastructure is being really stressed out. In the heart of the city, you know, in the near City Hall area, and you have a lot of undersized infrastructure. So it's pretty spread out. I mean, a lot of problems are different, and they're somewhat unique between the different watersheds.
I recognize that it's early in the process, but do you see a lot of interaction with various property owners within these watershed areas? Is there going to have to be cooperation from private owners?
Yeah, we do see that. And some watersheds, yes, we would have to have some of that dialogue take place, depending on what the solution we go with in those particular areas. But yes, I think in some areas that discussion has to be made.
Okay,
but do you find that in I guess the oldest infrastructures in the center of town? Do you find that those tend to be more problematic? That infrastructure there?
It is, yeah. It's really undersized. Some of it was laid out. You know, historically things change. We have piping running through some private property, you know, cutting through streets. So the layout is a little different. We're finding a lot of that infrastructure is definitely capacity-wise is undersized.
Okay. I recognizing that you've only been in the position since February, but I'm curious what your, I guess, public work priorities for New Rochelle are over the next several years.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Too soon?
There's a lot of things to be done from what I've seen so far. I mean, we could start right just on this effort that's going on right now on the stormwater management projects. We see that as a really multi-year plan. There are a lot of improvements that got to be done, and there are going to cost money and obviously take time to do. So we see that as a multi-year initiative.
There was a federal grant for that, wasn't there?
We're going to be doing grants, grant applications. There are some federal grants available, and we're going to really dive deep into whatever grant opportunities we could get for this work. And that'll be a big part of our planning initiative going forward. You know, we have, you know, a lot of internal things going on. We, in the next couple of years, we have a new facility that our sanitation bureau is moving to, and our organic waste transfer station will be starting up this fall in a new facility. Want to get that going for the next couple of years.
What does that involve, the organic component?
Yeah, the organic transfer station where you landscapers are able to drop off some organic waste at our facilities, and we are able to accept that and transfer that over to the county.
Is that a fee for a fee?
Yes, correct. It's a fee-based system.
Do they do that now?
We were doing it before, yeah. We have a new facility that we just finished construction on last year over in Beechwood, and we're going to open that facility up in the fall and also move our entire sanitation bureau over to that facility also. So that's one of our major initiatives this fall.
Just to be clear, when that's up and running, Commissioner, at 85 Beechwood Avenue, is this a place where inhabitants bring their organic waste or other waste for disposal?
Landscapers can bring their waste and dispose it. Correct.
And what about just citizens for composting purposes?
That is not part of this right now.
The plan at the moment. Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to pause right there and then come back for our last segment. Thank you very much for bearing with us.
Let's return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, welcome back. We are talking with Commissioner Wilfredo Melendez of the Department of Public Works, specifically this time about the waste and refuse yard that is going up at 85 Beechwood Avenue for landscaping and other organic refuse, recycling, composting. We have around us, Commissioner, but not in New Rochelle, additional kinds of refuse and recycling places. I'm thinking of Scarsdale, where you can go, for instance, to dump your unused or used home cooking oil and composting materials. And I remember a trip I took with my kindergarten son to the Westchester recycling facility where we got the grand tour. Maybe this is still being done in schools. Are any of these things in the works or being discussed for the New Rochelle area?
Yeah, I mean, just part of our sanitation program itself, we do collect yard waste and leaves seasonally at the home. That's part of our sanitation services that all go to the county anyway. So that is part of our regular sanitation service in the fall. Mm-hmm. I think it's seasonally. I think it's October to December or sometime to where we do go around and pick up yard waste. So that's for the residents. This facility is specifically for landscapers to do, bring large amounts in bulk to the facility. It's also, it's not only organic, but it's also our main sanitation facility where we're moving from Pelham Road over to this new site.
You mean the administration?
So we're moving the whole operation up there. So that's a major initiative going on. We have our salt stored there at this facility now. So hopefully we get it up and running in October. But as far as the priorities, for the next several years, I think it's really going to be a big focus on our stormwater management projects. We're going to continue to definitely support all the infrastructure needs that come out of any development that's going to be happening in the next couple of years. So continuing that to upgrade our system, our sanitary sewer system based on those development projects. Maintaining our assets in a state of good repair. We have a lot of buildings that support a lot of critical functions throughout the city, and that's one of our functions is to maintain these facilities in a state of good repair. One of my personal goals is because the department services so much and provides so many different services as far as engineering goes for projects and project development is really building up our engineering department. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully being able to onboard, some really eager, qualified engineers to help us support these projects as they come about. So I think that's some of the major things we want to do in the next couple of years.
How large is our engineering department at the moment?
We have around 6 people. We have some junior engineers. We have our city engineer, a traffic engineer. So we're looking to, we actually have a couple of vacancies now. We're looking to fill with some junior engineers and also an assistant city engineer. So trying to build it up by a couple more people so we could put these projects together and really deliver them in an efficient way.
A large part of what I think a lot of citizens think of when they think public works in the wintertime is snow removal. And I'm wondering with the climate changing. I mean, this past winter, we barely had any snow, which is both scary and welcome. But presumably, DPW sets aside a significant budget for snow removal each year. So if you have a winter like we just had, where you just didn't need to do anything, does that mean that gets carried forward for the following year and taxpayers get a break and maybe the budget isn't as high?
I wish I could answer that for you, but I'm not gonna touch that one. It's a finance question, and what happens to that fund maybe just goes back into the general fund, but I'm not privy to exactly what happens to that. We have to keep we were, knock on wood, we had a nice winter. I wish we knew for sure that we were going to have a nice winter every winter, and then we could budget accordingly. But sure enough, it's going to happen. We're going to get hit with a tough winter. It's just maintaining that, maintaining that budget, maintaining all of our equipment in a ready state and being ready. Besides snow, our streets and highways does a lot of other work too. Maintain roads and asphalt, pothole repairs. We do street cleaning, street sweeping. So it's a pretty busy bureau throughout the year, despite the winter. But on the budget wise, I prefer that one to our finance.
Fair enough. The engineering positions that you mentioned earlier, the new ones, are they currently being advertised or will they be advertised for any of the engineers who are listening to us at the moment?
Yes, they are currently advertised right now as we speak.
So we'll go online to the department and
on our website.
Okay. Very, very good.
Yep.
And with regard to the move of the department to Beechwood Avenue, is that move from the Public Works Center on Industrial Lane now near Home Depot? Isn't there a DPW outfit
no,
there?
No, ah. No. That's a relatively new facility there. That's where our streets and highways division is located and our fleet maintenance division is located. Okay. So no, that's there.
And that'll remain. That'll remain there.
That'll remain. Okay. And yes.
Well, that was just put there.
That was just That was just opened up not too long ago.
Yeah.
So our sanitation bureau is currently on Pelham Road, 40 Pelham Road. So that sanitation, not 40 Pelham Road. I'm sorry, over on Pelham Road. I forgot the exact address, but their that facility there, that group of that bureau will be moving over to Beechwood.
Okay, and the facility near the Home Depot, I mean that's less than a year old. Is that an improved or enhanced facility from the former one?
Yes. That was yes. Everybody came over from the main Cullum Road location. And our fleets and our streets and highways are all concentrated there now. So, yes, that is a newer facility. We'll be there for a while.
Okay, I have a fun question for you. So last year, DPW said its theme was ready and resilient. Is there a new theme for this year?
I'm going to keep with that one. That sounds good.
Still ready and still resilient.
Still resilient, yeah. Sounds good.
You know, I would like to ask something, and I take it in good spirit. Apart from tax dollars, what can average citizens do to make your guys' lives easier? I mean, we do follow the hand signals on the roads when we're moved from one lane to another. A lot of stuff is going downtown, but are there complaints that come in from the staff that we could help facilitate removing?
That's a great question. I would say, first and foremost, I mean, you're the eyes, right? The residents are the eyes for us. Mm-hmm. So if you see something out there that doesn't look right, that's unsafe, we encourage everybody to please call that in, and we'll get people to take a look at it and hopefully address it. So, you know, just being in the eyes is great. I mean, our crews are not out there driving every city street to look for issues. So, you know, as issues develop, call those in and we'll respond to them. You know, catch basins, potholes, things that look unsafe in the street, traffic signals that are out. We encourage people to call those in and we'll respond to those.
Okay.
Small things like going on the website and looking at the, you know, how to package your garbage. That'll help.
Mm.
On the recyclables, on the paper, how to put those put those out to the curb properly. That always helps and saves us a lot of time and makes us a little bit more efficient. I think that's the main thing, just being really just the eyes for us and just keep us informed of any issues you see.
Okay, we just had a question come in. Roadkill, if you... I think it's a serious question. If you've hit something, an animal on the road or something like that, and you are not going to pick it up yourself and deal with it, is the DPW the right arm to call?
Yeah, it's a first for me. I would think you would. I think we'll be the first people you call.
Okay.
Then we'll respond.
Okay. Well,
now what happens after that? I'll check to see what happens and stuff. But I would say that we'd be definitely the first point of contact.
So we are about to close, Commissioner Melendez. First of all, a welcome, slightly belated welcome to New Rochelle, to you, to your family, and a big thank you to the men and women of the Department of Public Works who really keep us safe and keep us productive. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Our next show is Wednesday, May 17th at 9 a.m. in the morning here on WVOX 1460 a.m. We thank Commissioner Melendez, and we hope everyone has
a great day.
Thanks.
State's most influential radio station, continuing the legacy of Bill O'Shaughnessy, 1460 WVOX.